Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So imagine this. You just finished the Boston Marathon. In awful weather conditions, I might add. And not only did you post a personal best, you placed in the top 15. Woohoo! Here come the accolades, the media interviews, and the prize money befitting a top finisher of one of the world's most storied races. Except that's exactly what did not happen for three of this year's top 15 women in the marathon. Jessica Chichester, Veronica Jackson, and Rebecca Snelson, they placed 5th, 13th, and 14th respectively, but until last week they did not get a penny of prize money. Well, why is that? I really wanted to know. So WBUR's sports and society reporter Shira Springer took a look, and she's actually written a column about it in the Boston Globe. It's called Boston Marathon's Elite Women's Race Needs Tweaks, but it's complicated, and we have a link to it at radioboston.org. And Shira's with us now. Hello, Shira.
Hello.
Okay, I will give... Okay, your piece did appear in the Boston Globe. I'll be a grown-up about that. But first of all, wait, how is this even possible that you can finish in the top 15 and not get any prize money?
Okay, I know this may be hard to get your head around, but the elite women's race, which starts before wave one and the elite men's race, is actually considered a separate race by the Boston Athletic Association.
Wait, but it's all the Boston Marathon, no?
Yes, it is all part of the Boston Marathon. But there are different strategies employed by the elite women when they are racing and started. They start at 9:32. The elite men in wave one start at 10 o'clock. And there is it's a completely different race. It's a completely different approach to racing for the elite women, the 50 to 60 women who are part of the elite women's race.
Okay. But on the men's side, though, I'm still really confused. Because on the men's side, do I have this wrong? That no matter
you have it right, I know where you're going with this.
No matter who finishes in the top 15, elite or not, on the men's side, they still get all the prize money.
Yes,
but that is not what it
exactly.
What it is for the
women? If you're an elite man or a sub-elite man, and you start in wave one, you are prize money eligible. But if you are a sub-elite woman and you start in wave one, you are not prize money eligible. And again, this comes down to those separate races and the elite women's start versus the wave one start. Now, I know you're still asking, but how is this a separate race? How does this happen, right?
I mean, time is time is time is time. Your finish time is your finish time.
Yes, your finish time is your finish time. But I'm going to go back to something that Shalane Flanagan said to me. If you don't know who she is the 2017 New York City Marathon champion from Marblehead, one of the all-time great female marathoners, U.S. female marathoners. And so I asked her about this. Help me explain to people why this is considered a separate race. And she says, okay, think about it like this. The elite women's start is like a game of chess. We are playing chess. The women who start, the sub-elite women who start in wave one, they're time trialing. They're racing against the clock. They're looking at their watch and clicking off mile splits. It's a much different approach. Typically, in the elite women start, when they're racing head-to-head or side-by-side, should I make a move now? Should I conserve some energy so that I have enough for a finishing sprint? If you ask most elite women, they will tell you that the actual racing doesn't begin until the last 10K of the marathon.
Okay. Who am I to quibble with Shalane Flanagan?
Exactly.
I'm not going to. But
good.
I don't know why that analogy doesn't work on the men's side, though.
Because they start at the same time. So, for example, if a sub-elite man in wave one was to have a breakthrough race and just run phenomenally, he would be running beside the elite men. He would have to finish in order. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, he would be up there and they would see him as competition.
But he is competition.
But because the elite women start so far ahead, again, it's about a half an hour difference. Let's look at it this way. If Desiree Linden, if there was somebody behind her that finished faster but started in wave one, she would have no idea that they were competition, and she would change her race strategy accordingly to address that. So is that fair? Is it fair if Desiree Linden finishes in 2:39 and change, but somebody who started a half an hour behind her, who's racing against herself, against the clock, clicking off mile splits, finishes in 2:38 and change. But Desiree had no idea that this woman was racing her.
Okay.
So she's behind. Now, I will agree.
It's starting to make sense here, but it still feels wrong.
It is wrong. I mean, listen, it's not fair. So it's not fair to the three women who finished in the top 15 based on time. But if you do the reverse and say, hey, any woman who starts behind you, who you don't know is competition, who you can't see is racing you, and you say to the elite women, well, they're going to count too, it makes it unfair for the women who have started ahead and who are really doing a game of chess here.
Okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate against myself, I guess, here. And first of all, in your piece in the Globe, you did note that the BAA, as of what, last Thursday?
As of last Thursday.
Said for this year, because of the extraordinary circumstances.
And because of the the backlash, basically. Let's admit it. Because of the backlash.
That they're going to get, that Chichester Jackson and Rebecca, or Snelson, I should say, are going to get their prize money.
Yeah, and for Chichester, it's not an insignificant sum of money. We're talking $15,000 in prize money.
Okay. But, I mean, I suppose, again, in playing devil's advocate against myself, maybe this isn't that big of a deal because we had that, like, historically awful weather in this past marathon. And, I mean, how often has anything like this happened before in terms of non-elite women placing in the top 15?
You ask a good question.
That's what I get paid to do.
So the interesting thing is it's actually happened before.
Oh, it has.
So it happened when the Elite Women Start made its debut in 2004, two women finished in the top 15. And on three other occasions, women have come incredibly close. Sub-elite women have come incredibly close to finishing in the top 15. So, and by that, I mean they were 16th place, they were 17th place, and they were a minute or, you know, minute and a half off of being in that top 15 range. So it's not inconceivable that this could happen again. And I think what happened with the doubling up of prize money, that's a completely temporary fix. The BAA has to look at a longer-term fix. And really, to me, the obvious solution here is expanding the number of women who are allowed to start in the elite field.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's
now, remind me, how
go.
Many did you say that are in the men's elite field?
So it's about equal. So it's about 50 to 60, you know, whether you include masters runners or not. But they find that the sweet spot is around 60 total, including masters runners for both male and female runners.
Okay. So, I mean, have you asked the BAA about the possibility of them expanding? She's like, of course.
That's what I get paid to do. So, yes, I did ask the BAA. I actually asked their executive director and CEO, Tom Grilk, what are you going to do? And he said, listen, I suggested expanding the women's field. And he said, that's certainly on the table, and it's something we're going to model. So they're going to look and see logistically how this can work. Because once you increase that field, there's a huge trickle-down effect. You know, you might have to start the elite women earlier so they don't interfere with the elite men. There's drug testing to consider because Shalane Flanagan also mentioned that, hey, if these women are going to be eligible for lots and lots of prize money, you want them drug tested as we are drug tested.
Held to the same standards.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And there are a whole bunch of other logistics that come into play, whether it's transporting the elite women to the start. You know, when you're transporting more women to the start, it's more buses, et cetera, et cetera. Again, a trickle-down effect. I have to say, I talked to Desiree Linden, the 2018 Boston Marathon champion, about this too. And she said, yes, it is on paper the obvious thing to do, expand the elite women's start. But she said, you'd be surprised at how difficult it is to corral the elite women that are there, just the 46 to 50 women who are currently part of that field. I believe she said, it's like herding cats in the rain at a circus. So you begin to get a picture of what this might look like.
But
worth it, I think.
But
worth
look,
it.
This is, the event organizers every year pull off an event where a million people watch and 30,000 people run. I think
a change to the
number of elite women, I trust the BAA to pull that off.
Yes, and I think they're going to start modeling like what will be the new sweet spot. I mean, my guess is that there will be some tweaks because, you know, you don't want this to happen again. You don't, whether it's 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you don't want it to happen again. And the odds are it will. As much as this was a freak year and a bad weather year and all sorts of circumstances combined, it's not inconceivable.
Would that put you into the elite status, Shira Springer?
Yeah, no. As much as I would like to be prize money eligible, I don't see a $15,000 check coming my way anytime soon, or for that matter, the 13th and 14th runners Jackson and Snelson, they got, I believe, $1,800 and $1,700. As much as I would like that amount of money for running, not coming my way anytime soon.
Well, this has been absolutely fascinating, and I'm glad to see that maybe we'll see some changes in future Boston Marathons. Shira Spring, our WBUR Sports and Society reporter, we have a link to Shira's column about non-elite women.
Sub-elites. They like the term sub-elites.
Okay. Sub-elites. Sub-elites. Maybe some changes in terms of who's eligible to win the prize money on the women's side of the Boston Marathon. We've got a link to that at radioboston.org. Shira, thank you as always.
Thank you.